This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. A recent report shows that nearly 80% of women in jails in this country are mothers. And like men in the U.S. penal system, these women are disproportionately poor and people of color. Many are trapped by a money bail system that can send them into a downward spiral even if they're not convicted of the crime they're accused of. As Mother's Day approaches, a nonprofit called Southerners on New Ground, also called SONG, is working to reunite incarcerated black mothers with their families. The project is called Black Mama's Bailout Day. And joining me now is Serena Sebring. She's a regional organizer for the Triangle chapter of SONG. Welcome back, Serena.
Hi, Frank. So good to be with you. Thanks.
Good to have you here, joined by your daughter, Courtney Sebring. Courtney is helping to organize the project and is also co-chair for the Durham-based chapter of the nonprofit Black Youth Project 100. Courtney, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hello, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Serena, tell us a little bit more. Give us the scope. I gave one statistic here. 80% of the women in jail are mothers. Give us a sense of who's in jail, women in jails and prisons in this country.
Sure. Well, we know that every day over 700,000 people are condemned to cages because of this money bail system. And what that means is they're there simply because they're poor. And we also know that this is a growing population of women in prison that's grown since 1980 by over 700%. We know that black women in particular are over two times as likely as their white counterparts to be jailed. And we know that overall, there's $9 billion wasted on pretrial incarceration.
When you say in there simply because they're poor, they're accused of crimes, aren't they?
They are accused of crimes, but have not been convicted of anything. And so we know that we as a society hold this value that people are innocent until proven guilty. That turns out to be the case, except for in instances when people are poor. We know that for those who are incarcerated before their trials, the only way to get out is to pay money bail. And this is essentially a ransom on one's freedom. And we know that money bail and the fact that people are incarcerated prior to trial has tremendous effects on women's lives in particular. It takes very little time for a life to fall apart.
Courtney, tell us more about that. What happens if you're there and you can't meet bail?
Sure. So people who are in jail for even 2-3 days at a time could lose their job when they come out. So they've been in jail and now they don't have a job to go back to. In a week's time, 2 weeks' time, you could lose your child. In 3 weeks' time, you could lose your home. So you're going into jail, you have this bail money to pay, and then you come back out and your life has fallen apart.
Give us more in terms of statistics, Serena. You know, how many children does that mean have a parent in jail? And again, are there some disproportions here along racial lines?
There are clearly racial disproportions here. I don't have a number in terms of how many specific children are facing a parent's incarceration, but we know that if it's predominantly women and predominantly black folks who we are trying to call attention to, that many of our families are facing these circumstances simply because of poverty.
Yeah, and I've actually seen a statistic that shows that 1 in 28 children in America have an incarcerated parent, and that 1 in 15 black children in America. Mm-hmm. So that gives you some sense of what the numbers are nationally, and I'm not talking about the state of North Carolina. Let's talk about this project, Courtney. Here and across the South, the bailout project, what does it do, and what does it aim to bring attention to?
So the bailout project nationally and in the South is a big first step in our way to say that freedom is our birthright, that freedom is something that we are all born with and deserve in our lifetime, that something that the state should never be able to hold us without us being convicted of a crime. So nationally, we're reasserting that black motherhood is valid, that black motherhood deserves freedom. And that's why it's very important that this is starting in the South as well.
And what is it? Tell us about the project and what you aim to do with that.
Yeah,
in terms
so
of bailing out, raising bail money and bringing mothers out, right?
Yeah. So locally, we have been throwing dance parties, garden parties, as many fundraising ideas as we can come up with to raise as much money to bail out as many black mothers as we can. We have also been reaching out to lawyers, social workers, and other service providers and other formerly incarcerated people to make sure that these women and caregivers have access to resources to end the recidivism rate that the system has set up for us.
Serena, you said this really came home for you during a moral, after a Moral Monday protest when you were arrested, right?
Yeah, I think as anybody who's participated in a civil disobedience that led to jail can attest, it's often a heartbreaking situation. We as civil disobedience participants often have large social networks that chip in bail money, that meet us on the other side. And at the same time, we're surrounded by people inside the jail for whom that's not the case. And so for me, it was really heartbreaking, the understanding that I might be out in several hours, whereas the women that I was surrounded by would be there for days, sometimes months, often left there making desperate phone calls to friends and family members to try to raise the bail to get out, and really left me with a sense of survival guilt, knowing that I am no better than any of those folks who will remain after I was able to get out.
And the impact on children who are left in this situation, again, you have some data and some understanding of what this means for children who have parents inside.
It's heartbreaking. We've heard from the mothers in particular who we are corresponding with that we're bailing out today. So today we are bailing out 10 to 12 Black mamas from the Durham County Jail. And as part of our process of reaching into them to find out what they might need on the other side, we heard back from them just how much this has meant, a chance to be reunited with their children. We heard from one young mother who's 26 years old with two kids, who wrote that her bond is $7,500. She's been in this hellhole for 22 days without knowing a court date. We also heard back from one of the mothers that we wrote to that she's been sleeping with our pillow that we wrote with our letter that we wrote to her under her pillow ever since receiving it, asking us, why does it smell like freedom? Asking us, could this possibly be real? We know it means a tremendous amount. We've also spent some time at the jail during visitation and seen countless children coming to visit their mom, knowing that they'll have to leave her on the other side.
You brought some letters with you. Maybe you could read from one. Courtney, could I ask you to read one of the letters that you received from
Sure.
a mother who's in jail?
So this is a letter, heartbreakingly, from a mother who we are not able to bail out today because her bail is so drastically high. She says, "Hello, how are you? I'm okay, I guess. I've been in Durham County Jail for 103 days and counting. I have not been to court one time. I am a mother of three beautiful girls. I am 5 months pregnant, and I am HIV positive. I received your letter and was very excited because I have a one-year-old girl, and I did not want to miss her first Mother's Day with her. I most of all did not want to have my baby in jail, and being HIV positive and not knowing when I will leave this earth or be with my kids again has been very hard. My family and I are very poor. I don't receive money while I'm in here, so I would greatly appreciate you guys getting me out. Please help me. I promise to go to court."
Give us a sense of what the crimes are. Do we know roughly what women are being charged with? It may be that they're accused of committing some very dangerous crimes, and for our own safety, it might be best to keep them off the streets unless they make bail.
That is not at all the case that we have found in looking at the jail population. We found mostly that these are minor drug and quality of life violations, things that many of us get a second chance around, and these women have not. I just wanted to return to the question of children to point out that some of the children of North Carolina are also sitting behind bars. So we know that as of May 1st, there were 18 kids under the age of 18 incarcerated at the Durham County Jail. All of them were Black and three of them were female. So that's a specific North Carolina cut. But the effect of bail, money bail on children, includes those who are sitting behind bars right now.
Do you have any idea what the alternative might be to the money bail system?
I think different communities are looking at options around risk assessment to think about who poses a risk of not coming back to court. We know that most people do go to their court dates. Most people want to handle the charges that they're facing. But some communities are looking at ways of securing people's attendance at court according to the kind of risk that they pose to the community and their risk of flight, which is not currently the kind of consideration that we have here.
Give us a sense, too, of here in Durham. I know what song is found to be the case in the Durham County Jail in terms of incarcerated mothers.
So incarcerated moms, we are bailing out, as I mentioned, 10 to 12 of them today. Those are the moms who we were able to raise funds for. And that meant that we capped the bail amount at $10,000. We know that there's about 600 people in the Durham County Jail right now. About 60 of them are women. We know that their average age is about 32 years old.
Do we know, Courtney or Serena, why that we've seen this huge increase in the number of women in jail? There's been a 14-fold increase in just the number of women, not to say all of them are mothers, 14-fold increase since 1970. Do we have any idea what's going on there?
We see this as an extension of the war on drugs. So when I say that most of the women who are bailing out and who we've been looking at are facing minor drug violations, it's really this enforcement of those as well as quality of life policing that's led to an increase in women in prison.
And this project that you're on, bailing out mothers right now, and of course using Mother's Day as a backdrop for all of this, but it does have a long history, particularly in African American communities. This is not a new project.
Yes. Yeah. So we know that Black people in this country have a long history of purchasing each other's freedom, going back all the way to the days of abolition and slavery. We know that we as a community have taken collective responsibility to get each other free, sometimes literally packaging ourselves up in boxes and mailing our people to freedom. We also know that folks coordinated systems of safe houses and an underground railroad, all to try to collectively pursue freedom. And we link this directly to a system of chattel slavery, the jail and prison system in our country today. And so we are responding as our ancestors did by coming together, pooling our resources, and buying each other's freedom.
Courtney, are you seeing, or what are you seeing in terms of organizing? Who's participating in this? What groups are interested? And is there growing awareness and growing interest in becoming part of a project like this?
Yeah, at least in Durham, every single day that I talk about this, and I talk about this all day, every day, every organizer that I know is involved. We have folks from All of Us or None, an organization of formerly incarcerated people working against recidivism, Inside Outside Alliance, Surge, just a lot of organizations who understand that Black women are directly targeted more than anyone else by this system and are ready to throw down and fight against
it. And you had personal experience with this. You were arrested during the Charlotte uprising, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I was arrested during the Charlotte uprising. Luckily, I was arrested with my mother and did not have to experience the criminal justice system alone.
When it comes to social justice, you are repeat offenders, I guess.
Yes, we are.
We can't stop.
Dangerous.
But tell us more
dangerous
about that, about what you noticed in terms of setting bail for those arrested during those street protests.
Yeah, I noticed that in the beginning of the Charlotte uprising, bails were being set at $1,000, $2,000, and it became very clear the manipulation of this ransom system to discourage people from being in the streets. Bails were jumping up to $10,000 for the same crimes that had happened or the same offenses that had occurred 2 days before. People were being charged with felonies for not listening to the police when they're throwing tear gas at us.
I think we also noticed when we were in the jail then the tremendous amount of kindness and just humanity that was there behind the bars, a connection with other folks who were incarcerated there. We did not experience the other women that we were incarcerated with as any different from ourselves, and in fact had multiple conversations with, and really recognized our commonalities with the folks who were in there.
And there's some of that network building involved in this project. There's a kind of homecoming event on Sunday. Maybe you can describe that for us.
I would love to. So on Sunday at a local park, we are bringing together the folks who will bail out, the people who have worked on this project, as well as other service providers within the community to celebrate a homecoming. So we'll do that with a barbecue, with a bouncy house, with some music and some good food, and really celebrate what it means to be a community.
Because if you think about people on the outside, if you're incarcerated, you're probably going to try to access the network that you have to help your children. But they're all pretty well stressed out, too. They're suffering from some of the same kind of conditions, already tapped out. And you're asking that network now to do double duty when you find yourself behind bars.
So we hope to grow that network. We hope to grow it and to ground it in the resources that the folks who are being bailed out have indicated that they needed, and also to grow it across the region and across the country. We have seen this project take off larger than we could have ever imagined at the beginning. So we know that there are three sites in North Carolina that are doing Mama's Day bailouts. That's here in Charlotte and also in Kinston, North Carolina, and across the country in Oakland, in Los Angeles, in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Montgomery in Memphis, Little Rock, Kinston and Birmingham, Baltimore, Philadelphia, all these places are having bailouts between now and Friday.
What effect do you think on this whole issue will it have? We see now the Attorney General Jeff Sessions is looking to double down on drug offenses and drug prosecutions, reversing the Obama administration's giving prosecutors discretion over how to handle these cases. What effect do you think that might have?
I mean, we know what effect we can expect from prosecutorial discretion, and that is further racial, demographic inequalities. And so we see this news as likely to increase the populations that we see in prisons and in jails.
And how can other people get involved in your project if they were interested?
They can give money most directly. So we have a Bitly link. It's bit.ly/FreeBlackMamasFund. And we are taking donations now through Mother's Day to support both the homecoming and future bailouts.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program today, Serena and Courtney Sebring. Serena is regional organizer for the nonprofit Southerners on New Ground. Courtney is co-chair of the Durham-based chapter of the nonprofit Black Youth Project 100. Both are part of the Black Mamas Bailout Day. It's called Black Mamas Bailout Day. It's a project that aims to reunite incarcerated women with their families. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
We have links to their project at our website, stateofthings.org. A program that is produced by Anita Rao, Charlie Sheldon Orman, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.